So this year is called Sarah's Radiant Beauty and Modesty. It's going to be Chumash Rashi in the world of Medrash type of framework. And I said one of the, I don't want to inspiration exactly, because this year to some degree was I thought of some of the core ideas beforehand, but at least the development of it is a conversation I had with somebody. I think it was a couple of years ago, a year or two ago. And she was complaining that like the Torah doesn't really develop and give a lot of time and details for the great women in the Torah. And one of her example was, which really surprised me, was Sarah Imenu, that like the Torah has like so much more about Abraham, and you barely know anything about Sarah. It doesn't really develop who she was. You just know that the women are great, but you don't really know too much about them. And what I told her, and it's like, is that this person also very much likes learning pshat with the different Rishonim who do pshat, and is not so much a big fan of Rashi and Midrashim, which are not pshat. They're a different, it's a different method of learning Torah. So I said, and I think this year hopefully will be, help for that development, is that the Midrashim, like part of the whole idea of Rashi and the Midrashim is that they fill out the characters of not just the Avos, but the Imahos. And it's like, there's so much material on Sarah Imenu, just from Rashi, and then from the other Midrashim, which you will see today, I'll supplement the Rashi with a few other Midrashim, that like, it's like a really surprising thing for me to hear that you don't know anything about Sarah. There's like so many different strands that you can take up, and the Medrash really develops her personality and her character. And I guess if you just deal with Torah Shebichsav, there's more on Avram, significantly more. But once you bring in the Midrashim and Torah Sheva'al Peh, which is, and that's what we, to me, the Iker is, that is the Iker, Torah Sheva'al Peh and the Midrashim, and not Pshat is nice, but I believe the Midrashim is who we, our role models of Avram and Sarah are really based upon how they're presented to us through Torah Sheva'al Peh and Chazal and Rashi and the Midrashim, and not so much Torah Shebichsav and the Pshat. So that's in a certain sense like an introduction of one of the things I'm trying to accomplish with this year. Okay, so let me begin with a couple of Rashis, ask a couple of questions, and we're just going to try to go through Sarah's life in Rashi, but specifically I'm focusing on important strand in Sarah's life, but an essential feature of who she was, and what Matt, and the core ideas about her personality, specifically with her beauty and her modesty. Okay, so let's start with the first Rashi when the Torah introduces us to her. It's in Parshas Noach, Perek Chaf Tes. Perek Yidal Pasuk Chaf Tes. Okay, so according to Rashi in the world of Medrash, so it's it says the pasuk says that Avraham marries Sarai, and Nahor marries Milcah, who was the daughter of Haran, who is the father of Milcah and Yiscah. So it comes out that Haran is the father of Milcah and Yiscah. So Milcah, we know she marries Nahor, who is Yiscah. We never hear from her again. So Rashi says, Zu Sarah. Okay, so this is Sarah. Al Shem Shesocha Baruch HaKodesh. V'sheakol Sochem V'yafya. V'od Yitzke Lashon Asichas, K'mo Sarah Lashon Sarah. So Rashi tells us three things about Sarah. And this is, the way I'm going to understand this is that this is not just about Sarah later on in her life. This is Sarah also specifically in her youth when we're first introduced to her, when she's called Yiscah. So it's three things we know about her. One is that she sees with Ruach HaKodesh. So even in her youth, she had Ruach HaKodesh. And that does come back later on in the Torah when Shema Bekola, that we say that Avram was Tafel secondary to Sarah in Ruach HaKodesh. It comes up, I think at least twice, two other times. The second essential feature of Sarisha, Kol Sochem B'Yafia. Everybody would gaze and stare at her beauty, exceptionally beautiful. And the third thing is it's an idea of nobility, and like a nobility. And she commanded respect from people who met her, and she from everybody, just like her name, the version that we're more familiar with of Sarah or Sarai. It's like a lesson of sar, of like an officer, of somebody who is respect, nobility. It's a certain dignity that she carried herself with, and that was how she was perceived by people. Okay, so the three things again: the Ruach HaKodesh, her perfection, her beauty, and the fact that she commanded respect from people, and they looked up to her dignity. Okay, good. That's our introduction to Sarah. Now in Parshas Lech Lecha, so let's start with, this is the Rashi. In a certain sense, the first part of the Shiur is going to revolve around this Rashi and this story. So we'll spend a little more time here. So we'll start in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay. So it's like this. So Avram comes to Eretz Yisrael, then there's a famine in the land, and he's forced to go down to Mitzrayim. Vayihi kasha hikriv lavo Mitzrayim. Vayomer el sara ishto, so he gets close to Mitzrayim, and he says, Hine no yadati ki isha yafas mara'at. And now I know that you're a beautiful woman. Okay, what does it mean, now he knows? He doesn't know beforehand. Right? Rashi says, Hine no yadati. So again, we're going to... The Pshat Rashi says is Pshat is now becomes relevant because now you got to worry about the Mitzrayim who aren't used to such beautiful women, and they're going to try to take Sarah. And, okay, fine. But the Midrashim are like this: is the two that Rashi quotes. He says Medrash Agada Ad Achshev Lo Hikerba Mitoch Tznias Shnebishneim. So because the Tznias of Avraham and Sarah, not just Sarah but of Avram also, he didn't recognize just how beautiful she was. But now he recognized her because of a certain incident. Okay, and that's brought down to Tanchuma. I'm going to read that in a minute. Okay, so basically, what does it mean now? Now it's like he didn't know. They had such sneas that he was unaware of how, you know, that she was so beautiful. Okay. And Davar Acher, the second shot is Minaga Olam Shaide Torah Haderach Adam Mizbaza, the natural way, natural course of beauty. As a person travels, that degrades a person's beauty. Vizos, and this one, Sarah, Amda B'Yofia. She stayed beautiful, even though the natural thing would be all through all the travels that they had gone through at this point, that her beauty should have been diminished. But now he realizes there's something strange going on here. This is not natural anymore, that she's able to be beautiful and maintain her beauty. Given the travels that they've been through, something was, you know, unnatural about it. Okay. Before I go to Tanchuma, there's just one question, and in a certain sense, the Shiur is based on this question. But you know, the question is, if you take this Rashi on its face value, the first Rashi, because the tznias of Shneihem, that he didn't really recognize how beautiful she was. It seems to be an excessive amount of modesty that a person doesn't know what his wife looks like. Do you know what I mean? It seems simple pshat is she covered her face, and he didn't really see, and she covered her face not just in front of the world, but she covered her face in front of Avraham, and Avraham's her husband, and it seems strange. Is this really a level of tznias that's like ideal? Is that like a midas chasidus? Like the highest level of tznias is a woman covers her face, even her husband doesn't know what she looks like. And then because of the incident on the way, which we'll get to in a second, how what happened when they were traveling, he saw her reflection in the river. So then he was able to see how beautiful she was. And that's the only way. Otherwise he wouldn't have known. Is that, you know, the question is that, to me, in a certain sense, that seems excessive. Is that really the ideal of Benos Yisrael to do that? Everybody should do that. Everybody's not on that level. I mean, we say women, married woman covers her hair when she's in front of other men, but even in front of her husband, you know, she doesn't have to cover her hair and her face, Avram, to the point Avram doesn't see. Or do you take the Rashi non-literally? Of course, he didn't cover her face in front of Avram. He just like, because of the tznius of both of them somehow, he never looked at her. It's not clear why that would be her tznius as opposed to his tznius. But, you know, the question is how exactly to understand this Rashi is do you learn it's like really a midas chassidus, this incredible midas chassidus that we just don't live up to, and that's why it doesn't seem like even, you know, I don't know what the most extreme from Jews do. I really don't know. Maybe they do some things like that, but it doesn't seem in the Masorah that I've received that that's really the level. Woman covers her face in front of her husband to point he doesn't know what she looks like. Do you take the Rashi non-literally, or is there some perhaps some other interpretation to resolve it? Okay, perhaps. Okay. The other problem is that she's 65 years old at this point, you know, and you know, okay, she lived longer, 127, but still, I mean, she's 65 years old, and now she's so beautiful. It's like her beauty is really exceptional, like king, like a king. You know, Paro is taking her captive. We're going to see the story, but I mean, it's something remarkable about her beauty. And later on, when Abimelech takes her captive, to, you know, because she's so beautiful, the same story is repeated. She's 90 years old, you know, so it's like her, there's something unusual going on about her beauty, how, you know, her age doesn't quite seem to matter here. Okay, so the story is in Tanchuma. It's a nice version of the story. And it's going to, you know, help bring out like to degree of like how, just how great the beauty is that Chazal ascribed to Sarah. I think the Gemara in Megillah, it's Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, maybe, I'm not sure, but it says that she's one of the four most beautiful women in the world, right? Along with Esther and Abigail and another one. So she's one of the four most beautiful women in the history of the world. So there's something special about her beauty. Okay. So Tanchum is Lech Lecha Hey. So it says like this. It says, okay. So Amar La, Avram says to Sarah, Mitzrayim zo yeshivasa na. He said, Mitzrayim is beautiful. Let's go down there. Maybe they can have some food and some meat for us. Okay, where there's a famine, right? Behira Baratz. So that time they went, they both went down. And when they got to the gate of Mitzrayim and they stood by the Nile River, so Avram saw the reflection of Sarah in the river like the shining sun. Mikan shenu chamim, from here Chazal say, shekol hanashim nei Sarah kekop ivnei Adam. So all other women compared to Sarah, it's like comparing a monkey to a person. Okay, it was her beauty was so exceptional in a qualitative sense that when you looked at all the other women, that basically they look like monkeys. Okay, they're not even you wouldn't even call a monkey beautiful. Now, so to the point where essentially you regular female beauty would not even be considered beauty compared to Sarah's beauty. Okay, to the degree where it's kizam chamazrachas, it's what I call the radiant beauty. It's she created a reflection. You know, not every woman creates, I'd say very few women, create a reflection where the reflection itself is something that grabs hold of a person. You know, one thing you look at their face, but the reflection, you know, the reflection is distorted. Her beauty was so radiant that it was toface. It created a reflection. Okay. Amar La, so Avram says at that point, he says, Hine na yadati, now I know based upon this, right? This is the Kiishi Yafas Marat. Right? So there's something he didn't know. This is the Rashi. He didn't know what she looked like a normal thing for a person and their wife. And the way the Tanchuma is Kedera Hanashim, it seems like the Tanchuma is not saying that we should all be this way. In fact, we don't. We don't have that minhag. But it's Kedera Hanashim, and there's something abnormal about Avram and Sarah. I shouldn't say abnormal, but something different. Right? He didn't know what she looked like. He didn't know her. Okay. So Avram says, Mitzrayim are shtufei zima. These guys are not, they're not in terms of modesty. They're not really the greatest people. Okay. So what's he going to do? He's going to put her in a box and lock her up. Okay. Cause he's worried that, if they see him, that they're going to kill him. Okay. He sees how beautiful she is at this point. He just knows essentially he's a dead man. Okay. He's a dead man. Okay. So then the Medrash goes through They get to the box. They say, what's in there? He says, it's barley. They say, no, you're lying to us. You're just trying to get out of taxes. It's wheat. He says, fine, I'll pay for the wheat. They say, no, it's pepper, which is even worth more. And they say, oh, yeah, fine, I'll pay for the peppers. He says, it's gold. They say, no, there must be gold in here. I'll pay for the gold. And they say, okay, we want to see what's in there. We don't trust. That's it. I don't even know what you got more than gold, but we're seeing what's going on in here. So, Kivan Shadach Golav, Paschas Ateva, they forced and they opened up the Teva. Veroos Akechama Zarachas, and they saw her like a brilliant sun, like a sun shining, radiating. Amru lo ein derech zu lishtamish b'hadyot. He's saying, this girl, this is not a regular person, cannot possibly have this girl. Vayiros aser paro vayahalu osel paro. And they praised her to Paro, meaning that only Paro was somebody, only a divine king, right? Paro was a god man in their mind. That she was basically fit for the divine, not for a regular human being. Okay, her beauty, it filled the room with light. There's an idea of radiant beauty. She walked into the room, and the room filled with light in a metaphorical sense, of course. Okay. So that's that's her beauty. You see how Chazal are really comparing her to her shining sun. Other women become essentially monkeys compared to her. So there's something truly unique about her beauty. Okay. Good. Now in terms of her tznius, we see, of course, the tznius, that Avram doesn't even know what she looks like. That's one obvious case. Then you have an earlier in Yud Beis Hey, the Rashi of Nefesh Asher Asu B'Charon. So Rashi says Avram Megayres HaNashim V'Sar Megayres HaNashim. Okay, that doesn't mean the Nefesh they made. It means they converted. But you see that there was Avraham converted the men and Sarah converted the women. Okay, they didn't do it together. But there was a separation of men and women such that Sarah would only really try to convert the women, and Avram worked on the men. Okay, it's another example of the tznius of Avram and Sarah. And that really comes back again in Parshas Vayera, the Yud Ches test. When the angels come, right, and the three men, and they say, where is Sarah? And he says, right, he neba ohel, ayisari shtechi neba ohel, rashat tznuhi. Right? So tznuhi is again, this, it's really exceptional if you think about it. These are guests. And basically, Sarah stays in the kitchen the entire time where they never really see her. And even though they have a message to deliver to her, she's behind the door and the angel's behind the door and there's a door in between them. She never makes an appearance. They never see her. And again, the question is this really what we hold? That ideally, the highest level of tznius for a woman is that even she doesn't show up at the Shabbos table. You know what I mean? That when you have guests in the house, she stays there. Basically, you know, you have a Shabbos meal. She prepares the meal. It's very nice, good food. But she stays in the kitchen. And basically, the husband is the one who talks to the guests. You know what I mean? I understand if you want to say that in terms of the conversion and you have Talmidim and Talmidot and she has the, right, she has the women become her students and Avram has the men become his students and Hagar was a student of Sarah, and that makes sense that there's, that her students in her relationship, Sarah should develop that with the women, Avram should develop with the men. That makes sense. But to the point where you have guests who come over, and yes, obviously you're trying to teach them ideas, and that was the whole point of Avram's hospitality, to really not just give them food, but to teach them ideas about Hashem. But I mean, you know, there's three men here. Avram's there. It's not like only one hanging out. She doesn't even show up. She's like, the point they have a message, she's not there. Hinei ba'ohel. That's a very high level of tznius, which, so you know, do we really hold that ideal Jewish woman doesn't come to the Shabbos table when there are male guests at the table? Okay. But it seems like that was Sari Meinu. Okay, Sari Meinu. And again, you could say, that's me as Chassidus, we don't live up to that level, but I'm going to try to give a little bit of a different explanation. Okay. And now for the last Rashi for the first part of this year, okay, is Chayesara, right? The first Rashi in Chayesara. Right? So the life of Sarah is 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years, right? So why does it Why does it separate them all out? So Rashi says she was 100. When she was 100, it's like she was 20 in terms of sin, right? That a person who's 20 years old isn't really punished in terms of sin, bidei shamayim. And then he says, okay, that's 100 to 20. And then when she was 20, ubas chof kibas zayin liyofi. When she was 20, it's like she was 7 for beauty. Okay, and it's a strange Rashi. What exactly does that mean? When she's 20, she's like 7 for beauty. Right? Isn't she supposed to be super beautiful? Like, you know, so who's more beautiful, the woman when she's 20 or when she's 7? What exactly is the Medrash trying to get to? That her beauty when she was 20 was like she was 7. That sounds a little strange. Okay. Right, it's an unusual, what exactly is the pshat in that Rashi? Okay. So let me start to try to develop the story here with that last Rashi, that when she was 20, she was like 7 for Yofi. Okay. So what's the pshat? So there's a footnote in the Saperstein Rashi, Art Scroll, footnote 3. I have to give credit to this pshat. So it says that, women, so this is from Mesiaf Ilmim. Okay, he says, women tend to become increasingly more beautiful from the age of 7 to the age of 20 when they attain the height of their beauty. Sarah's beauty continued to develop at the age of 20 at the rate of a 7-year-old. Okay, so he's saying is that what's the idea of comparing her beauty at 20 to 7? Is that a girl at 7 is when she like just starts becoming beautiful and it starts entering. And as she gets older and older, like she becomes more and more beautiful. And this process doesn't go on forever. Okay, but it peaks around 20, give or take, okay? I know someone will say 23, 25, you know, I don't want to get into particulars, but we'll call it 20. And Sarah was an exception here. Sarah was that even at the age of 20, she was still getting more beautiful than at the age of 7, okay? You don't have to exactly buy that shot. The key idea that's important for me is that her beauty defied natural beauty, okay? I'm going to call it supernatural. I'll explain a little bit. Okay, call it supernatural beauty. At least in two regards we see it, is one in terms of the aging process, okay? Is that she, at 20, she's getting more and more beautiful, okay? And we see at age 65, right, so the kings are taking her. And also we see it define minhag she'olam, natural beauty, from the fact that on the derech doesn't degrade her. Like the natural things that degrade a woman's beauty is the environment and aging process, internal and external things that degraded her beauty did not have that effect on Sarah. Whereas for some reason, her body was such that she was getting more and more beautiful. It didn't go on forever, but it went on longer than the normal process goes on for the average woman, okay? Okay, let me just take a little bit of a deviation from the world of Medrash for a second to explain it. Because this is a deviation and it's speculative. It's just a thought. Because I know sometimes people have problems with too many miracles and supernatural stuff. So I'm just going to, I think really in terms of methodology of Rashi, world of Medrash, that's the pshat. There's a hashkacha from Hashem that Sarah should be extremely beautiful. You don't have to say, just she's incredibly beautiful, supernaturally beautiful, beyond the bounds of nature. But I just, in terms of a mechanism with Sarah, again, this is speculative and you know, take it or leave it. But because of, I guess, two reasons why you'd want to say this. One is the idea of like the Ramban of Va'era, right? The Avos is Kel Shakai, that the Nisim for the Avos are within, in a sense, the Derech HaTeva. And also, you know, there's that sheet of Chazal that like all All the nisim are set up in Ma'aseh Bereishis. There's no like interventions. So I would just say that it seems from the story of Sarah that she has a unique physiology, that her beauty was super unnatural, beyond the bounds of natural. And also you see from her that she didn't, two other things. One is that she did not have, she did not have fertility. She had fertility issues when she was younger. And she also had a second youth. Right? When she was 90 years old, right, she went through a second youth, and that's when she really hit a fertility period. Okay, she went through menopause at some point between, 75 and 90. And then she had a second youth, and that's when she really got pregnant with Yitzchak in her second youth. Okay, so she has like this unusual body physiology. So it would seem to me that that these two issues could be linked. And that in general, that the reason why women, their beauty peaks, their beauty is essentially designed, the female beauty is designed to attract men. And in order for the purpose of reproduction, that's why before, and this is not just the human species, any species, that it doesn't make sense for the female to devote resources and energy to being beautiful in a way that attracts males if they're not reproductive. So before the reproductive age, they're not beautiful. And once their reproductive capacity is gone, then the beauty fades, because the whole point of the beauty is in order to bring about reproduction. And that's what it's conducive, that's what it's selected for. That's the purpose of it. Okay. And there's a balance. And for the woman's body to devote all its energy and resources to beauty, that doesn't make sense either. There's got to be a balance between reproduction and beauty. Okay. Now, it seems that Sarah's body, or Sarah's physiology, and this I would say is the nes, is the hashgacha, she had some sort of genetic difference that differentiated her from other women, right? To the point you would say that they're like monkeys compared to her, is a different genetic makeup, is that her body devoted all its resources to beauty, okay? In a way that the normal process, that once she hit a reproductive age and she had a mate, that age in women, the beauty starts, there's no point in the beauty getting more and more. Why should it get greater? You've already, that's the age a woman already has, is married and has a mate. It doesn't need to devote all its resources to that. She devoted its resources to being able to be pregnant and have a baby and nursing and those things. So, but rather her body, in a sense, it was like a runaway process of beauty. And all the resources were devoted to just getting more and more beautiful. Okay, and then, and to that degree, she wasn't fertile. Okay. Now she had, it was a unique physiology, and she went through a menopause and she came back again later on. So I would say is that this type of derech, okay, there's a reason why I would say beauty doesn't work this way in the natural world, is because it wouldn't be very successful. It would be a complete waste of resources, and it would not be selected for in the sense of in a biological sense. Okay, so there's a reason why no species in the world do the females just get more and more and more beautiful. Okay, but there's always a balance between beauty and reproduction, and there's a timing of the two. Sarah was unusual. Okay, that's my deviation. If you appreciate that, you do. If you don't, forget about it, right? But the main thing in terms of Rashi is that her beauty was supernatural. It defied natural processes of that degrade beauty of aging and environment. Okay. Now, Sarah is 10 years younger than Avraham. Okay. So the first thing we know about Sarah there is Yiska. She's Socha Ruach HaKodesh. She has Ruach HaKodesh. Where does that come from? Where did Sarah get Ruach HaKodesh from? Where did her perfection come from? So she wasn't just Avraham's wife, but she was Avraham's niece, based upon the Rashi, that she's the daughter of Haran, Yiska. And she gets Ruach HaKodesh at a young age, before, presumably, she even marries Avraham. That's part of what motivated him to marry her, is Avraham, Avraham is 10 years old when Sarah is born. And she's his niece, and she grows up with Avram. And there, she becomes Sarah because of she doesn't just exist in a vacuum. She comes from she's raised in a sense by Avraham. And we don't know when they get married, but presumably they were, they fell in love when they were young. And her whole life was Avram and Sarah. And they were a team, and they were, and then from her childhood, and she receives Ruach HaKodesh from this, and they become married, and they go off on their life's mission together to change the world, where he works on the men and she works on the women. And that's Avraham and Sarah from their youth, from the time she's Yiska. But when she's identified as Yiska, it's Hakol Sochin B'Yafya, is everybody stares at her beauty. Okay, so at this point, when she's young and she becomes, and she hits the point of 20, or I don't know, 25, whenever Yiska is 30, there reaches a point where Sarah realizes that she's not like every other woman. And people are just staring at her. And her beauty is so exceptional that she's 20 years old and she's still getting more beautiful. There's something unusual about this. And her beauty became to the point where everybody is staring at her, to the point where the third thing we know about Yiska, of the dignity and the respect and the nobility that she commands because of her presence, her personality, her perfection, that was being overshadowed by her beauty, her physical beauty, to the point where she couldn't talk to people. You know, she couldn't talk to people, she couldn't interact with them because of the fact that her beauty became a complete distraction. So what I think Sarah did is that Sarah realized that in order for her to function in the world and to prevent herself from becoming a woman of fantasy that basically appealed just to the fantasy of the men in her generation, of the most beautiful woman in the world who gets more and more beautiful, and you could fantasize the infinite beauty. It's just something that in order to remove herself as being a Yetzirah for the entire world, and a Satan, perhaps you'd say, for the whole world, is she basically covered herself up entirely from everybody, okay, from everybody, and even from Avraham, okay, even from Avraham, because her beauty was not natural. A regular, average woman doesn't have to go to these levels of extremes, but her beauty was not natural. It wasn't the type of beauty that anybody else had, anybody else does have. So for her to simply interact with anybody, her husband even, she simply had to cover herself up. She had to completely remove her beauty from the equation, and her beauty was for her and her alone. Nobody else laid eyes on her once there was a transition from Yiska. To the point where when Avram sees her reflection in the river and she's 65 years old, he is surprised. He knows she was beautiful, right? He knows he married her and everybody saw how beautiful she was. He knows he married a beautiful girl, and he knows that there's an excessive tzniyas, and he understands also why. I mean, they don't communicate. He knows the reason why she's covered herself up, hid her face from him even. It's because of the fact of how beautiful she was. But when's the last time Avram saw her? She's 65 now. When's the last time he saw her? When she was 25, when she was 30? And yes, he knew her beauty was special, but he didn't think she'd be getting more beautiful. She's 65 years old, and she's even more beautiful than she was then. Or de biyafya, nothing has taken it back. It's hinei na yadati. Avram realizes this is something, this is more than I even anticipated. He hasn't seen her in years. And she's got him more beautiful. He just says, I'm a dead man. I'm dead. There's just no way that I'm going to be able to bring Sarah into Mitzrayim and walk out alive. And he's right. He's right about that. That's absolutely true. He says he's her husband, and they absolutely would kill him. No question about it. No question about it. Okay. And this is in a certain sense, Sarah's challenge, Sarah's life. Of at least in the earlier parts of her life, is dealing with the fact that she has this this radiant beauty, supernatural beauty, that she has to deal with and overcome and really practice the midah of tznias to a degree that would be considered excessive for any other woman. Okay, so I say is that the reason we don't say this is an ideal that we should model exactly in terms of just copying it is because women don't have Sarah's beauty. It would not be wrong for a woman to show up at the Shabbos table with her hair covered but her face uncovered. We don't hold that Jewish girls can't have a man can't see their face. But there's an element of tznias. That's because in objective tznias we don't say that. But there is an element of tznias that's subjective. And if a woman's beauty is to such a degree that men can't, she can't be around guests, that men at the Shabbos table, they can't talk to her, they can't do anything, they're just staring at her. Her beauty is such a draw, it's such a radiant attraction to everybody around her that nobody can think straight when they look at her, then there is an idea of subjective tznias for her to go to a level that would be deemed excessive for anybody else. And that's what Sarah did. That we can learn from Sarah, the subjective element of how far a woman has to go beyond the halacha, beyond the objective halacha, based upon her beauty. Okay, if it becomes excessive and distracting and a yitzhahara to the point where even if she covers up the proper parts, but this simply her beauty is so extreme that that it creates a yitzhahara simply from her face.
Okay. I think
and Sarah did that.
I think the proper lesson is intoxicating beauty.
Intoxicating beauty. Okay, I went with radiant beauty, but I like it too. Yes, exactly.
Intoxicating projects the idea that a man can no longer function normally.
Right.
He's intoxicated.
Befuddles the mind. Intoxicating beauty. We'll consider changing the title, Leslie. We'll consider changing the title there. But yes, their minds were befuddled. Excellent. Okay, good. That's the story. That's what I'm trying to get across, okay? Okay, good. Now, as opposed to leaving to the end, there's a couple, I would say, reasons why this, what would be the purpose of this? Why would Hashgacha deem fit, okay, to arrange for Sarah to have this exceptional supernatural beauty? Why would it do that? Okay, so I have three reasons. One I'll do now, okay? One I'll do now, and we'll go through them. So the first one is I would say that the Torah is trying to create, Hashem is trying to create somebody like Sarah who's going to be the mother of Yitzchak and of Klal Yisrael. And so Chaburuch HaKodesh, her perfection and her level Nevius was going to be an exceptional level. And I would say that this is one of the primary methods by which Sarah was able to reach the level she reached. Just like Avraham Avinu went through 10 tests that are recorded in Torah Shebech Zav, so this was Sarah's test. It wasn't broken into 10, but it was over the course of her whole life, is she had to handle this beauty. And a woman's beauty, and not just a woman, but anybody, but the emotion of vanity of physical, a person's physical appearance is very much tied to the ego, the gaiva of a person. And overcoming the emotion of vanity and the egoistic desire to be seen as beautiful and attractive, that's really a specific process of anava, and it's a maisa that enables a person to really achieving anava and removing gaiva is one of the trickier things that we have to do, and it's like you need certain actions in your life that enable you to attack gaiva and pursue anava. It's not simply enough to just think about it and say, I'm going to be a humble person, but you have to identify certain things in your life that are manifestations of gaiva. And overcoming that really helps a person achieve the ideal of anava. And anava really is, humility really is the singular path to perfection. Like we say, Moshe Rabbeinu is anav mikol adam, that's the way Torah describes his perfection. And in a sense, is gaiva pervades all a person's imperfections, and anava is the same. It's the basis of all perfection, all shleimus comes down to humility. Like Avram says, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer, Moshe and Aaron say, Anachnu Ma. It becomes the hallmark and the foundation, the bedrock upon which perfection, Ruach HaKodesh, can rest. And I would say there's different expressions of gaiva. Vanity is one of them. And I would say in women, in particular, tznias and overcoming physical vanity, that's something that's probably an even more pronounced derech of anava for women than it is for men. Okay, but not exclusively for women, but I say it's even more. And this what God gave Sarah, this fantastic beauty, supernatural beauty, that was something that was a tremendous challenge for her. It was just like Avram has his nisyonos, Sarah's nisyonos is what to do with that, what to do with her incredible beauty. Because it's a temptation for a woman. A woman has a desire to be seen, to be beautiful, and she had this gift of incredible, phenomenal beauty, and it was something that she had to the tznias that she had to practice to overcome that. In a sense, the beauty and the yetzahara to be seen was the fuel for her perfection. And the overcoming of that, the tznias, enabled her, gave her an opportunity for realizing a higher degree of perfection than would have been available to Sarah had she not had this challenge of her beauty and the tznias that she was able to overcome. In a similar way as the nisyonos, the challenges for Avraham, enabled Avraham to overcome them and reach a higher level of perfection, actualize a higher level of perfection that would have been available to him had he not been challenged in the same way.
Those other men.
Oh, so I mean, the idea is from Avraham is Avraham also realized this, is that he couldn't talk to her either when her face is uncovered. As I say, it's part of Avram's tznias that Avram didn't look at his wife. He in front of him, she covered her face also in front of him, because you know, like Leslie says, intoxicating beauty, and Avram was subject to it too. You know, the Avram's tznias doesn't mean that he's immune to female beauty. Avram's tznias means he recognizes the effect that female beauty and Sarah's beauty has on him, and therefore he realized that he can't think straight when she's around, and therefore she has to cover her face in front of him also. So that's what I'm saying, is you have to realize that it's you can't judge all women, their level of tznias, by what Sarah is, because a regular woman, her husband can see her face and still be able to think. You know, it doesn't impact him the same way as Sarah's beauty did for anybody. And therefore, the level of tznias demanded of Sarah on a subjective level extended even to her husband. And that was Avraham's, that was Avraham's decision. It was really, I don't think that was Sarah's decision. That's Avraham's decision. Sarah's decision is in terms of the world, when, that the guests come over and she hasn't come out. And, basically I'm saying Sarah was developing this reputation of this yiska, of this woman that you travel there just to see her beauty. She became a national attraction, and she realized this is no good. And she basically took herself out of, certainly in front of men, totally out of the visual. And even for Avraham, that was his tznias, to realize that even in front of him, it was necessary to basically not perceive her beauty.
Can I ask you one more question?
Sure, go ahead, Joey.
In the story with that the Tanhuma brings down, so it sounded like it was accidental that he saw her, right?
Right.
Did he have a plan? It sounds like he should have thought of that ahead of time, that maybe right. Putting her in a box wasn't a good thing, but what was his plan besides right. that? You know what I mean?
Right. I think the simple shot is that he figured she's 65 years old and like it'll be okay now. Do you know what I mean? I guess I say, I don't know the last time he saw her, but I'm speculating it's when she was 25 years old, and it's 40 years ago. And yes, she's extremely beautiful. And, but he did not realize that it's 40 years ago. She's 65. She's been traveling. It's not normal that she would still be beautiful in the way that she's a danger to her husband. So that's why he didn't have a plan. And it's only when her radiance reflected off of the river did he start to realize that I better come up with a plan, because, arguably he wouldn't have gone down to Mitzrayim if he'd known how beautiful she was. It was kind of too late. The Medrash has it that he came to the Pili Mitzrayim, the gates. Essentially, he was too far in to turn back. If he turns back now, they're going to think he's smuggling. He has no chance. And that's when he basically realized that he's got to think, plan B and put her in a box. And not a great plan, but he panicked, And this is what he did. But it was too late when he saw, and it was just, and he had just no idea. He just said he had no idea that the level of beauty that she had achieved at age 65, it was not something that he intuited would be possible. And, it's not every, she radiated, and that was their beauty, and that was something special. That's why he didn't have a plan. So let me move on to the second part of this year. And that's where things changed. Okay, so this is a little bit. It's the midrashim that Rabbi Feder discussed last week. I'll read the Rashi's and the Medrash Rabbah, and I'm going to learn similar, but a little bit different. Okay, so I first want to do the two Rashi's that he kind of puts the Medrash together, and then I'll do the Medrash itself. So there are two Rashi's. Are the first one's in Lech Lecha. It's Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tes Zayin. So when Hashem says to Avraham that he's going to change Sarah's name from Sarai to Sarah, so he says, "Vayomer Elokim Avraham, Sarai shechad lo sikra shema, Sarai ki Sara shema, uberachti osa vegam nasati meni lecha bein uberachtiha." It says this second time. So what does it mean? So the first time, berachti osa mahi bracha shechazu lenaruseha, that she had a second youth, right? There's, again, this unnatural type of physiological development of Sarah. Not a normal thing. After menopause, she went through a second youth. And then Uberachtia, he says, Be'anaka Shadayim, that she was nursing, Kishinitzach alakach b'yom mishra shel Yitzchak, when she needed to, at the Yitzchak's little party, when he was 2 years old, right? The party where he was being weaned. Ha'ashayimirani aleyim, she'eviyu asufim min ashuk, so people were saying, the late Sani Hador were saying that Avram and Sarah just took a random baby from the street, and they're claiming it's their son because Avram's 100, Sarah's 90, and no kids until this point. It's not believable that Sarah went through a second youth, and now it's just not a believable story. So every one of them brought their sons, and they didn't bring any nursing maids. Okay, and they knew not to. The Gemara in Bamitzia says that Avram sent that invitations. This was a party by invitation only. She nursed them all. They specifically brought their children to test out Sarah. That was the point. The point of the party was to be a test and a demonstration. And that's the pasuk we'll get to in a second. Bereishis Rabba Ramzu Mikta. So the Bereishis Rabba that we'll do, Rashi just alludes to this in part. So that's why I'm doing the Rashi. The Rashi fills it out a little. The Medrash has something else, but okay. The other Rashi is in Chaf Alef Zayin on the weaning party itself. It says, Mimi Lel Avraham Hanika Banim Sar plural, Mahu Banim Lashon Rabbim, Abiyo Mishtei Viyu Saros B'nei Amimahim V'niko Sam. Acham Omen Le'olda Sarah, you see, it was like Sarah, that the party was for the elites, the nobles of the time. Okay, it wasn't just like a Hefkerville party, everybody come, but it was a party that was by invitation only. And Rashi's Mishta Gadol, he says Gedolei Ador, Shame, Eiv, Avimelech. So it was the great people of the generation. Okay, and the Medrash itself that. By Feder, read last week. It's Bereishis Rabba Nun Gimel Tes. So it says like this: Heinike Banim Sara, Heinike Bein Inksiv Kan. Right? It doesn't say singular; it's plural. It says Imenu Sara Haisat Tznu Yosemidai. So Sara Imenu, she was excessively tznius. Okay, which we tried to explain why she's excessively tznius, because she's excessively beautiful. Okay, Amar La Avinu Avram, but Avram Avinu said to her, at this party is not the time for tznias. Bear your breasts, so that everybody will know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing miracles. Okay. So it's basically public. Everybody could see the milk flowing from her breast publicly in front of the great people of the generation. And they're all bringing their babies to come nurse from Sarah. What is going on in this story? A little bit of a bizarre story. Okay. So the important you have to realize is the when this story occurs. So Rashi says, okay, this part I'll do outside. It's a little bit based upon a shir on also in Rashi on this part about the great weaning party here. Is Rashi says that Yitzchak was 24 months old. He was 2 years old exactly. And she nursed him until the point where he was weaned, which is exactly at 2 years. Now Yitzchak was born on Pesach, right? We know Yitzchak was born on Pesach because exactly 400 years after he was born, to the day Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, right? And the angels came to tell Avraham Parshas Vayera exactly a year earlier, which Rashi says was also on Pesach. And if Yitzchak's of the party, if the party was 2 years on his birthday, so then the party would also be on Pesach. Okay, so you could look at this as Avram's great Seder. The great Seder, where he invited Avimelech and Shem and Aver to this party, and this wasn't just a regular party, it was a Seder night. Okay, and how Avram celebrated the Seder, that's from, we discussed that before in the past, the Bris Bain of Basarim had occurred 30 years in advance, also on Pesach. And Avram fought the four kings also on Pesach, Leil Tezvav, and Lot was saved, and the miracle had been done from Avram. So Avram had a nevuah about Tezvav Nisan. He knew about that in the future, that that would be on that date from the Bris Bain and Basarim. And there already had been miracles on Leil Tezvav when he fought the four kings and he defeated them and saved Lot. So there is a history of the miracles that already began for Avram on Leil Tezvav Nisan that continued ultimately in the second half of that night. Rashi says, Vayachalek Aleihem Halayla, for Avram's children and Makas Bechoros. Okay, but the first half of the night of Tezvav Nisan was miracles for Avram. Okay. Now, this party was specifically arranged by Avram to invite, to bring in all the nobles of the time in order to publicly show everybody and to demonstrate that Sarah is the mother of Yitzchak. Because until this point, Yishmael had been identified as the heir of Avraham. He's the Yorish. And this was the party where Avram and Sarah announced to the world that Yishmael is no longer going to be the Yorish. Vakimosius Brisius Yitzchak, that Akash Baruch Hu had specifically told Avram that the Bris Avraham was going to be carried on through Yitzchak. Yishmael is nice, and Yishmael is going to be a great nation, but Yishmael is not going to be Yitzchak. Yishmael is the daughter of Hagar, and Hagar is not Sarah. Yishmael is the son of Sarah. Yishmael is the son of Hagar, and it's only the son of Sarah who's going to be capable of carrying on the bris of Avram Avinu. And this party was designed in order to essentially make public that Yishmael is no longer the Yorish, but Yitzchak is going to be the Yorish. Okay, that could be, you could see from how Yishmael reacted to this party. When he starts shooting the arrows, trying to kill Yitzchak, and Yishmael has to be kicked out. It's the same parsha, basically, is he has to be kicked out from the household because of his reaction to this party. You can appreciate, you know, what Yishmael might have gone through and why this party might have traumatized him a little bit. He's 15 years old, and all of a sudden he's being replaced by this two-year-old good-for-nothing Yitzchak, you know, just finished weaning, and now they made a whole party. But it was necessary to make this party to show the miracles that Hashem did for Sarah and Avraham in having this child, and to reject the late Sani Ador and their attacks on Avraham that Yitzchak is not Avraham's and Sarah's son. And therefore, the nes of Tezvav Nisan, right, the hashkach of Tezvav Nisan, which started in Bris Bain Basarim, continued through the War of the Four Kings, with Yitzchak's birth on Pesach and the angels coming to Avram on Pesach and this party. This was another example of the miracles that occurred on Tezvav Nisan. Okay, so that's, again, the whole is a separate thing, but you have to, the miracles of Tezvav Nisan, it's not just that one date when we left Mitzrayim, but Tezvav Nisan is a was the date on the calendar every when Hashem did Nisim that were directly setting up Klal Yisrael and the bringing about of the nation of Klal Yisrael in order to be redeemed, that was a Tezvav Nisan phenomenon. And this party was a party to show the miracle. And that miracle was done publicly through not publicly in terms of the whole Hamon Am, but in front of all the nobility, all the people of that generation who mattered and who would form and shape opinion. It was done publicly in front of every one of them. Now, what had to be is Sarah has to nurse all these babies. And it can't be she's, you know, nursing it, you know, underneath a cloth, because then it doesn't prove anything. Then it's just she's got a bottle under there and that's how she's doing it. Everybody's seen trickery before this. That's not complicated. So it has to be public. Now, this is Sari Menu, who's she her whole life, she's hidden herself from the public. And now she's still a Yesumi Dai. And you can imagine the emotion of Tsnias, that a woman who's 90 years old and nobody has seen her. And remember, she had a second youth. Her beauty has come back. Her skin, Rashi says, went back to her youth. And she's having children and she's nursing again. She's not, even though she did go through a period of menopause and old age, she's rejuvenated. And now you're asking her to basically, you know, become topless in front of the nobility and the great people of the world, Shem and Abraham Avimelech. That is something that every ounce of tznias, every bone in her body basically said, no, I'm not going to do this. And Avraham taught her this idea that tznias is important. It's essential. It's a necessary midah, but it has a role. There is a role to the Yetzirah, and it's tznias is how we deal with it in general, but it's not an absolute. It's not an absolute value for us. And there are situations where it becomes necessary to become unsnias, for lack of a better term, and in order to mekadesh the Shem Shemayim, in order to show that Yitzchak is the Yorish, in order to stop the Lashon Hara and then the Motzi Shemra about Avram and Sarah and Yitzchak, it became necessary to really to make a Kiddush Hashem and to establish Klal Yisrael for Sarah to have to overcome her emotional disposition of tznias. Because at this point in her life, her entire psyche was fully committed to absolute privacy and tznias. And this party really changed. You can imagine, again, the impact that has on, or nobody has seen Sarah in how long. And now all of a sudden this radiant beauty who's had a reinvigoration of youth is coming out and she's uncovered, her top is uncovered. That had an impact on the entire world. And that changed Sarah's persona. She came out of her hiding, and her reputation amongst the whole world spread from this party. And it was designed. The party was designed in order to accomplish this perspective of Sarah, and everybody should speak about what Sarah did and speak about the party. And these people who were there witness should tell everybody what they saw. And this is the method Avram had. And, you know, and this you imagine this is a genius plan by Avram. If you're trying to get publicity for the fact that Sarah is the mother of Yitzchak, it's hard to imagine a better plan than when Avram Avinu came up with that. The Sarah that nobody's ever seen being topless and nursing all their children, that had an impact on the people who saw it to the point where they told it about it, and everybody, the whole world, found out about it. You know, information didn't spread the same as quickly and as easily as it did as it does in the modern era. But this kind of a party had that impact on the world, and that was Avram and Sarah's Avram's plan with this idea. And Sarah heard Avram's idea, and it was a change, and it was something that she had to, on the one hand, she had, her challenge was being a tzenua to the level she was, Yosumi Dai, because of her great beauty. But then her challenge was also overcoming her excessive tznias when it became necessary for the sake of Kiddush Hashem. And that's the full perfection of Sarah's tznias. Now, this midah of tznias, but also the overcoming of tznias in order for the Kiddush Hashem and to enable the Hashkacha of Tesvav Nisan and the Mitzrayim, the Gulas Mitzrayim for Klal Yisrael. So that really was found in Sarah's daughters, okay, the Benos Sarah, okay, the Benos Yisrael. So there's a Rashi in Parshas Vayakel, Perek Lamed Ches Pasuk Ches. So it says that when they made the kior with the mirrors of the Bemaros Hatzovos. Okay, Hatzovos is a funny word. So Rashi learns it means the Benos Yisrael Hayu Biyadem Maros Sheroen Bahem Kishayu Miskashtos. So the Benos Yisrael Mitzrayim, they had the mirrors that they use when they used to put on makeup. Okay, and that also they didn't refrain from being to the Mishkan. And Vayemois Moshe Behem. And Moshe, it was disgusting to him. He said, this is basically for the Yetzirah to arouse the instincts to for women to look beautiful and to the Yetzirah. And he didn't want to take that into the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the idea of Tznias. The Mishkan itself is a Tznua, right? It folds over like the extra Amma in front of the, in the front. So the whole idea of Tznias, and it's totally against the idea of the Yetzirah. So it didn't belong. I'm like Hakadosh Baruch Hu kibel. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, accept it. These are the most chaviv of them all. Through these mirrors, these women established the tzivos Hashem, the legions of Hashem in Mitzrayim. Okay, because their husbands were tired and they were weary from all the work, and the women used to go and they'd bring them food and things to drink, and they would take their mirrors and they would show their husbands themselves in the mirror. And they would basically seduce them in a certain sense. They would mishtadlo b'dvarim. They would arouse them. They would say, "I'm more beautiful than you." And because of that, the husband became aroused, and they were able to have children, more and many children. Niskakos lem, misabros, v'yodosham. Okay, and that's the hashkacha in Mitzrayim, the primary hashkacha that existed in Mitzrayim during the Galus. Was this hashkacha that functioned through the women, that of the vayirbu v'yatzim b'mod v'atimara ta'aretz osam, is that even though there was shibud, but there was a hashkacha to have a unnatural level of birth rate of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, but that birth rate demanded that people take advantage of that hashkacha, and the more people pursued having more children, the more the Hashkacha was able to multiply them. And if it was up for the men of that generation, it wouldn't have been too much of a Klal Yisrael. There wouldn't have been Sivos. The Geulas Mitzrayim would have been paltry. It would have been very weak. And a big part of the Geula Mitzrayim and Har Sinai, that subsequent giving the Torah, was the fact that there were, the nation was a couple million people, 600,000 men, ages 20 to 60, a couple million people. And the women of that generation, Sarah's daughters, they realized that that this is the hashkacha that's available, and it's not really happening to the level in which it should be happening. And they had to use the Yetzirah to incite their husbands, to arouse their husbands in order to take advantage of this hashkacha, in order to build the Tzivos Hashem. Okay. And so I say again, is that from that this midah of Sarah, of the ideal of tznius, but realizing that the Yetzahara also has a role in this world, and it's there's a time for tznius and there's a time not for tznius, and when it's normally say a woman who's toveh bepeh is a chatzufa and it's inappropriate, but when it's for Kiddush Hashem and there's hashkacha operating, whether it's Sarah's the party on Tesvav Nisan or whether it's the Nashim Hatzovos in terms of building up the hashkacha of a year of Yatzim Mod Ma'od to build the Tzivos Hashem for the Gulus Mitzrayim, also Tesvav Nisan for Kiddush Hashem. That's the idea that a woman has to be capable of using the Yetzahara and overcoming the natural emotional disposition that Benos Yisrael have of Tznias. She has to be capable of using the Yetzahara in order to create a Kiddush Hashem. Okay. One more example, and I'll just develop the point a little more. Let me just give one more example. So this is a Tanchuma in Parshas Korach. Okay, so the Tanchuma in Korach is, it's when Korach rebelled, he had some people with him. And one of the people with him were On Ben Peles. Okay, but On Ben Peles shows up in the initial rebellion by Korach, but he doesn't come subsequently, he disappears. And the question is, what happened to On Ben Peles? Where did he go? Okay, so it says, Amar Rav says, this is Tanchuma Korach Yud. Okay, so he says like this. He says, Amar Rav, On Ben Peles, Ishto Hitzalto. So his wife saved him. Why? Amar Lo, she said to him, she says, what do you need this machlokas between Korach and Moshe, right? Or Aaron and Korach. She says, if Aaron's the Kohen Gadol, you're going to be his Talmud. You're going to be second to him. You're not going to be number one. And if Korach is his Talmud, do you think he's going to make you the same? Is Korach is has this kolayla kula kedoshim. We're all holy. Everybody's equal. Everybody's the same. Yeah, but it's like in communism, everybody's equal. But some people are more equal than others. But then the leaders of the movement, Korach, he's going to be the one who's, he's going to be the coin rabbi. You're not going to be. Don't have this fantasy that you're not going to be playing second fiddle to Korach. Okay. So what do you care about this whole thing? Why are you getting involved? Amrullah, he had already told her, Yadana de Kula Kanishta Kadisha, the Siv Kikoli Lakum Kadoshim. She knew about this, okay, that the Medrash is learning it in an interesting way, is that the Korach's argument, Koli Lakulum Kadoshim, it wasn't just we're all equal, we're all the same, we're all holy, but it was a excessive amount of frumkeit, of everybody is super holy. And Korach's rebellion was saying that Moshe and Aaron, through their grabbing, positions, they're impacting Bnei Israel's ability to be karav l'Hashem. And they're making that they're closer to Hashem. Moshe goes up the mountain, Aaron goes up the mountain, but Klal Yisrael has to stay at the bottom. That kolei l'kulim kedoshim, that we're all on this super high level of kedusha. Why you mamadua tisnaso kal Hashem? Why are you making yourself that you're higher, you're better, you're closer to God than everybody else? Okay, so he already told her that was part of Korach's whole philosophy, whole argument. It was a religious fanaticism against Moshe Rabbeinu. So what'd she do? Ma'avat, what'd she do to that? So Ashkise Chamra, Ve'arvise Ve'agmine Be'ars, he says. So she gave him, this presumably was the next morning for breakfast, okay. So the next morning, she gives him a little wine, she gives him a little cheese maybe, I don't know. He takes a little bit of a nap. Ve'ava Yosva above the base. So she sits down by the entrance to the house, to the tent. And she takes down her hair. So the events the next morning, Korach and the 250 men, and everybody's coming for Owen, who's one of the leaders. Okay, so all the people go, where's Owen? They start coming for him, go get him, go call him. So they send messengers to go get Owen, and the Owen comes, and then he sees her hair. They see you, it's not sneeze. A woman with a married woman, her hair's uncovered, back off. So they can't go into the tent. They can't call Owen, and they leave her. They leave him alone. I send another messenger, and they come. Her hair's down. Come on, call Eli Kodoshim. These are the fromest of the from. These are excessive people. They don't go in. Okay. And Hachi v'Hachi Ibleinu Ara. So by the time the late morning comes, Korach Soled is destroyed, and Owen is still sleeping. Okay. And that's the Hani Dechsev Chachmos Nashim Bansa Beis Azusha Shel Owen. That the chachma of the woman of women builds her house. So she basically owns wife by using her chachma to overcome the natural midah of tznias that Benosis shall have, and realizing that she can manipulate these people to leave her husband alone. She could save her husband's life. She saved her whole family, and she prevented even further bigger chil Hashem of the whole Adas Korach rebellion against Moshe. So again, you know, see the point. And there's more. There's more examples from the story of I think Yael, and there's many more. And with that I'm sure you've heard about how the idea of a woman using the Yetzirah in order to accomplish Kiddush Hashem, accomplish some greater good. And I just would say just explain the. Like the concept behind it is of why Sarah again had to have this excessive beauty and then sneas and then went through this other challenge of having to reveal herself is she was besides for the fact the first reason we gave that it fueled her perfection overcoming the Yitzhahara, and this was her nisyonos in order to raise to the highest level of Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, this was also. She became she is to this day, obviously, a paradigm of the idea of tznias for Benos Yisrael. And not just tznias, but the right attitude towards tznias. That tznias is not simply an emotional, psychological disposition, but it is that. It does become, for a Jewish girl, and tznias of a man, I'm focusing more on the women's aspect of tznias. For a Jewish girl, it does become a psychological character trait, and it becomes part of their midos and typifies a Jewish girl, and that's proper and that's good. But Sarah, what Sarah showed is that it has to be subject to a person's chachma. And that's Avram's idea that taught her, and it was Sarah's ability to implement and to be that model, that it's not just an emotional attitude. If it was an emotional attitude, Sarah would never have been able to reveal herself at that party. Okay, but because it was her mind and the role that Tznius played in, it was a means to an end of teaching, being Megayer people, of being Megayer the women, and becoming this prominent person was necessary. Like Rav Feder said last week, she was no longer Sarai just for Avram, but this was necessary for the whole world to recognize Sarah Lakol, for everybody to realize her greatness and her beauty and put her on the stage, that this was the transition, this was the name change when it went into effect, and her whole persona and her public image changed. And she realized this was necessary for Kiddush Hashem in order to identify Yitzchak as the Yorish of Avraham, that she was able to overcome her psychological tznias and realize that the Yetzer Hara has a role in this world. And there are times where it's absolutely appropriate for a woman to manipulate the Yetzer Hara in order to accomplish Kiddush Hashem in this world and to prevent the Chilul Hashem. And I would just say I came across the Rambam. He learns the Pasuk in Iyov. I don't want to go too far in this at all, but it's Beis Aleph and Iyov. The Pasuk says, "Vayhiya yom vayavo b'nei Elohim litziyatzev al Hashem." So it was on that day that the b'nei Elohim, the angels, came to stand before God. "Vayavo gam ha-satan misochem litziyatzev al Hashem." And the Satan came with them to stand before Hashem. Right? And the Rambam says it means to like to stand before Hashem is almost like ready to be to receive directions and commands of what the Akash Baruch Hu sends him out on. And he makes the point that when Iyov is the second time, is that it's true that the Satan and the Yetzirah, Satan is the Yetzirah, the Taiva is the instincts, and it's a whole other shir, Satan Yetzirah, but the Rambam makes the point of that famous Rosh Lakish, Ezu Satan Ezu Yetzirah, Ezu Malach HaMaves. But the point is Vayavo Gama Satan B'socham L'Yatzif Al Hashem, that there is a role for the Satan in this world. The Satan plays a key role. The Yetzahara has a role in this world. God did not just create the Yetzahara, and it's a bad thing, and it's an unfortunate, there's no evil. In Ra Yorid Min Hashamayim, there is nothing evil in this world. God didn't make anything bad. And the Yetzahara does cause us to sin. It's a Satan. It causes us to deviate from the proper path. That's like the Lashon of Satan. And therefore, it's necessary to have tznius in order to prevent the Yitzhar from distracting people and causing people to do averos and take them away from the true ideas and the true ethics and real avodas Hashem. Because if it's unrestrained, if the Yitzhar is unrestrained, it destroys the society, it destroys people, and that's in a certain sense obvious. But also it's vayavo gamasota satan b'socham lihisyatzev al Hashem. The second time in Iyov, it says lihisyatzev al Hashem by the satan. Because the Satan Yitzhar has a place in this world. And Un Ben Peles' wife used it when it was necessary, and the Benos Yisrael in Mitzrayim used the Yitzhar when it was necessary to establish the Tzivos Hashem. And this is the legacy of Sarah that she leaves to her daughters and to all Jewish girls. And it was the proper idea of the Yitzhar and the proper idea of Tznias. And I think that's why, another reason why the Hashkacha saw fit to give Sarah this incredible, supernatural, radiant beauty. And besides for making it the challenge and developing herself as an individual, it also enabled her to really be the paradigm of how a Jewish girl relates to her beauty and to the fact that she has this ability to really create the Yetzirah in men, and how to respond to that, when it's appropriate to hide that and when it's appropriate to use it in order to further Kiddush Hashem. And a final last point here is that a third reason of why Hashkacha saw fit in order to make Sarah supernaturally beautiful is that a big part of Avram Avinu and his ability to influence the world and to change people's ideas, people are very much affected. Less by ideas, and they're more affected by success. And it's true today, and it was true back then, that the way Avram was able to influence the world was really because of the fact that he was successful and wealthy, and the Hashem Berach Avram Bakol. That basically the Birkas Avram really was no limit. Everything a person could ever desire, could ever want, that's what Avram had. And that's what Hashem gave Avram. And that was essential in terms of attracting people to Avram's Derech HaChayim. Avram would not have been nearly as successful if he had to convince people that his path was really a good path and it really leads to success and it leads to a good life. And the Avodah Zarah is really harmful and bad for people if he had to do it through ideas and words and concepts and things like that. Just like Klal Yisrael, it's very hard for Klal Yisrael to teach the world through ideas. It doesn't really work. The way Avram attracted people and influenced the world, and the way Klal Yisrael ideally is set up, is that when we follow the proper ways, then we're successful, and we're successful in a supernatural way. When Eretz Yisrael, it rains everything, and people don't get sick in the same way, and the animals, and there's no miscarriages, and there's like the hashkacha of the brachos in the Torah that no other nation really ever has. When Klal Yisrael is flourishing and following the Derech Hashem, then we become successful to the point, and all the nations look at us and say, "What are you Jews doing right that we're not doing?" Say, "Rak am chacham v'navan agai galdolzeh." Then they look into us and then they say, "Well, there's chachma here. There's something special about this nation," and that's when we have an opening to influence people. Just like by Avram, when they saw his success and they saw that he had everything, that's when it gave him an opening to teach them ideas. They say, "Okay, you want to know?" Avram says, "You want to know what I'm doing? This is my Derech HaChayim. This is how I lead the life of Tzaka and Mishpat and Chesed and Yichud Hashem." So I would say is that it's also this idea of Sarah being this phenomenal beauty and a worldwide known, especially at the end, but even from her youth, Yiska, is that it was known that Avram had the most beautiful wife in the world. And that's part of the Birkas Hashem to Avram. And whether or not Avram himself is part of, you know, him himself, that I don't know how much that impacted him. Did it matter to him? Did he relate to her at all in that way? That's beyond my ability to speculate. But I'd say for sure is that in the world, in the eyes of the world, that's another one of the things that when people talk about Avram and Sarah is, how did God give Avram such a bracha? His wife was supernaturally beautiful. She radiated her beauty to the point it filled up the room. And that was again showing that Avram was under the hashkachas Hashem. He had God's approval. And this was Avram. It was an endorsement, further endorsement of Avram's Derech HaChayim. And you know, that's a third possible reason of why the hashkacha saw fit to really give Sarah this exceptional beauty that's not like the normal way of the world. Right. What Vader's saying is that you see that there is a subjective element in Sneas also. And I think so. I think that's another idea you learn from Sarah, is that like the halacha of Sneas is based upon normal beauty that a woman has and what attracts what attracts men. And women have to cover up those parts of their body that's necessary in order to stop men from viewing them, you know, for having the Yitzhar really become a problem in the interaction between men and women. But you learn from Sarah that there is a subjective aspect of Sneas, and that a woman really who has a certain part of her body, part of her face, that really is really attracts men and really arouses the Yitzhar in men, that she, I think you see from Sarah, that she would have a higher, I don't know if it's Mias Hasidus, or it would seem that she would have a higher standard of Tznias because she knows the impact she has on men with you know, based upon her beauty attraction, and that there would be a higher standard of Tznias that she would have to do more so than other people. And I guess the halacha is based on objective criteria, but from Sarah, you would see the Mias Chasidus is that a woman should be cognizant and aware, self-aware of her beauty and the impact she has on men. And, you know, and not to use that in a way to her own gaiva, her own vanity, because, when men look at a woman in an attractive way, their appeal, that increases the woman's vanity and their gaiva. And the woman has to know that that's an imperfection. That's something that's taking her away from God. The path to perfection is anava and not from vanity. Also, it's harmful for men. It's really does not help men at all if the woman's inciting the Yetzer Hara in the men. But also, and the final point is that the woman has to know if she has a subjective beauty that's exceptional, that there is a place and there is a time where she could use that in order to further Kiddush Hashem. And it's not simply to be high, but there are these situations that come up where she has an impact on men, and there are, you know, I don't know how common they are, but they do come up where she could use her beauty to influence men and to influence the society and really, you know, whether it's Sarah's becoming famous in order to teach the ideas, or Om Ben Peles to prevent the Chil Hashem and save her family, or the Benos Yisrael in order to bring about the Kiddush Hashem of the Bnei Yisrael. She has to be aware that she has a gift and she has something that while Tznius is in general the appropriate attitude, there is a time where the Yetzer Hara has a role, and to use that in order to further her Avodas Hashem and Kiddush Hashem. Okay, so Rabbi David Feder is suggesting that also you see the symbol of the Medrash with Dina in a box. It parallels the Sarah in a box. But Yaakov is criticized because he withheld her from Esav. She was obviously a very beautiful girl, and she could have used that beauty to attract Esav. He would have wanted to marry her. I once learned that it's not Esav. It was really Eliphaz. I guess I'm going to put that in. Eliphaz was one of Eo's friends. He was also a Navi in the Gayim. So really the plan was for Eliphaz to marry Dina. Those are the proper generations. That was the idea. And because, you know, Yaakov withheld really from Dina from giving over to Esau's family, essentially Eliphaz, then in the end, the what happened to her beauty is then Achamor, Ben Shechem, I forgot the names right, she ended up being Vayaneha, right? She was, her beauty ended up leading to Michshal, and it was right, the whole events of Shechem and Shimon and Levi, all these terrible things happened to Yaakov because he basically withheld. He didn't use her beauty as a method of you know, having her married to Eliphaz or Esau's family, and really having bichos of b'tshuva. So yeah, you see that there's this the beauty of a woman is it could be good, it could be bad, it could be used to be makari of Esau and bring him into the fold, but it could also be an attraction that vateitze Dina Basleya, and it could be a michshol for the woman. If she goes out and she is not tzenua, then it could bring bad things and cause terrible things in Klal Yisrael. So again, that's another example of the duality that Chazal found in the Tanakh about how a woman has to relate to her beauty and the Yetzer Hara and Tznius. Okay, good. So Yael is saying a good shot also is that not just to focus only on women here. It's a good point. Is that Yosef had the same challenge? Yosef was very beautiful. And he started doing, I'm quoting the wrong pasuk, but by the Ishis Potiphar, he started doing his hair and becoming attractive. And that was the wrong thing to do in that situation. That becoming physically attractive attracted the wife of Potiphar to him and brought about all his problems. He ends up in prison because of that. So why Yosef needed to be so attractive, if there's any value, I'm not sure. I can think off the top of my head what his beauty he should have used it for.
Well, you see at the end, Banos Sada Ali Shor, you know, that right. You see at the end, it played into his nobility.
Right, in Vayechi, it's true. You mean in terms of his ability to influence, women were stepping up onto the walls to catch a glimpse of Yosef. And Yaakov brings it into the brachos by Yosef. So you're right, it does seem that his good looks, his ability to attract people to him was part of his charm and part of what enabled him to rise to the position in Mitzrayim in order to bring down Klal Yisrael to Mitzrayim, you know, in order to bring about the Bris Bein of Asara. So again, you're right. So that his good looks and his beauty was an essential feature of Yosef in terms of his role. But when he used it inappropriately, he instigated the Yetzer Hara. He brought right the bear who pounced on him, the Ishis Potiphar, and really just ruined his life for many years, based upon the fact that he wasn't Senua and around her and in that household. So yeah, so the idea of tznius and physical beauty in a person subjectively who knows that they exert a specific attraction on the opposite sex, it's not limited just to women. Right? My shiur has definitely been focused more on women. I do think, I know nowadays there's no difference between men and women, but in the time of the Torah there used to be. And I think that the woman's beauty is different. They're not the same, the woman's beauty in terms of the attraction of the Yetzirah, but the point is well taken that it exists, I think, in a lesser degree, but it does exist. And in exceptional cases like Yosef, it's certainly something that a man has to consider, his impact on women. And if he has to be more tzanua than the average man, and, you know, and if he doesn't, there's, again, there's the dangers. It's not something that it harms the person. It harms Yishas Potifar. It harms the society that he's in. So he has to know how to use it. And I guess you could say that Yosef did tshuva. He used it in the appropriate way when he became a melech, you know, second in command. He learned he did tshuva. And he used, you know, through being in prison, that was his transition time. He learned how to use it appropriately to bring about the design of the Ashkacha as opposed to the initial failure to really be at Tzenua properly. Okay, and definitely like Donnie's mentioning, yeah, that's another element in the story of Purim with Esther, and she's one of the women on the list of the four most beautiful women in the world. And also it was right, again, there was Ashkacha clearly to give her the exceptional beauty. And again, that was a major part of that story is she used that beauty was necessary for her eyes in the to become Ahasuerus's wife and to save the Jewish people from the decree of Haman. And she knew how to use. She went to him, and when she went to Ahasuerus, Kasher Avarti Avarti, she knew that this was a situation where she had to use that the Yetzirah of Ahasuerus, and she had to appear attractive in front of him, and she had to do it willingly. And that was up until that point, she wasn't Chazal say Esther Kaka Olam. She wasn't also to Mordechai because it was coercion up until that point because she was a tzenua. But once it became necessary to save Klal Yisrael and to prevent the ultimate Chil Hashem of destruction of Klal Yisrael, then she used her beauty in order to bring about the Kiddush Hashem. So again, it's another story, and I say this tension and the fact that Chazal hold that there's these two poles. If a woman has to be capable of exerting extreme tznius, especially if she's extremely beautiful, but just any woman in general has to have the psychological disposition of tznius, but then also that tznius has to be guided by their chachma and their minds in order to be able to manipulate and to use the Yetzirah when it's appropriate. And it really is replete throughout the Tanakh. It's in many, many, many cases. Not just by women, by men also, but specifically, and I think specifically, Sarah was set up as the first, really the first woman in Klai, so Avram and Sarah. And this, in a sense, I think it's one of the defining characteristics of Yiska is that she was, everybody looked at her, everybody stared at her beauty. But in overcoming that, she was able to, that fueled her perfection in overcoming the vanity to achieve Ruach HaKodesh, that she was sochin sochsa b'Ruach HaKodesh, and then through also when she had to give that up at that party and become Sara Lakol, that's Lashon Nesichus. It became Rashi says Lashon Sarah, is that she has to be willing to overcome that emotion of tznius in order to be famous and in front of the whole nobility and everybody could respect her, you know. And the dynamic that a woman has to have between tznius and the idea of commanding respect. It's also a woman who doesn't have tznius, she loses the respect of the people that she's around because they look at her more as a physical object and less as a person. So that Rashi really in the beginning, Yiska, really defines like the three core elements of Rashi of Sarah's personality and how they interplay with each other is in a sense a story of the, or one of the major storylines of Sarah's perfection and her life.